you both kind of had a nice little travel experience here. I'm curious, what's different here that culturally, as far as women are concerned, from what you've experienced in your native country of Argentina, and also Fanny, you in China, just kind of the comparison. I'll start with Fanny first.
Sure. So when you look at the history in China, you know, being raised by two rather traditional Chinese parents, a lot of the stories that were told to me, women were the heroes, right? The popular one that we know here in the United States is Mulan, and I'll plug that Mulan, the live action, is coming out on March 27th, so I hope y'all check it out, because it does, although it, you know, it has special effects, I think it does tell an incredible story. It's a story that is still told, you know, in a little bit different way than from the Disney take of it, but it captured the essence. You know, the family, or excuse me, the women in the family have always been very well respected. Even my own family, the women, you know, we are the workers. And so, you know, we, not only are we the, you know, the moms, the daughters, the grandma and things like that, we also go out, and provide. But I know, you know, thinking about all the stories my dad told me about, how his mom, my grandma, and he has, I believe, seven siblings. And so, you know, she had, you know, a house full of children and also need to feed them. And so, in my family, you know, coming from a very poor area, coming from a very poor village, you know, my grandma didn't really have the luxury to stay home or to hire a nanny. And so, for all of the generations of women from my family, anyway, we've worked, and we've also, we work two jobs, right? We go out and get the food, or now it's to make money and then come home and also take care of the family. So it's interesting to see that, you know, being 24, you know, I'm well aware of how the American society view women, especially working women. And so that's something that I've had to adjust, is that when I leave my house, I have to remember, you know, that some people may not appreciate or understand my lifestyle as a working woman, as someone who works at least 50 hours a week. I would say that's the major difference that I've noticed growing up here in the United States.
All right. Marianne, how about you? How are the gender roles different here?
So I resonate with what Fanny is saying. I would say that Argentina is mostly a matriarchal country, probably due to the Italian heritage, which the mama is the one who runs the shop, right? I don't know how it is, but somehow the folklore is that Argentinian men are less reliable, mostly, and so their parents push their daughters to get higher education, because that way she will have a job with benefits, and she may not make that much money, but the children will be safe, and then the grandparents don't have to support them if the guy goes places. So it is, even 20 years ago, it was the case that at any level of education, the number of women attaining it was higher than the number of men. This is actually something that we are starting to see in the U.S. too. Men kind of try to go for fast money, and that doesn't always pan out, as we know. And so the woman with a degree had a stable job and benefits. Of course, not that I necessarily am a fan of Evita, but of course we had early women's suffrage, mandatory daycares at job places with more than a certain number of women. Feminism to Argentina was a workers' right movement, essentially. That's how feminism came to us. So it's a little different from here, and I definitely faced some cultural differences being a highly educated single woman with an accent and a kid, with my oldest daughter going to the school system. I don't find it so much anymore now. It seems to me that maybe it has become more mainstream. I don't know. I get much more respect at school with my little kids now than I used to before.
Very good. Well, and I know Manhattan's kind of a diverse melting pot of folks from all over the place, mainly due to Kansas State University and Fort Riley being here in our communities. How would you say you've each been embraced for your different cultures and such? I'll start with you, Marianne.
Well, K-State is a very mixed place, so I was just in the right spot. I mean, the K-State has a very diverse faculty. Not so much the students who have to get used to that, but there is a lot of emphasis placed now in preparing them for a very mixed workplace and interact with people with all sorts of backgrounds. In the end, it comes down that there is a job to do, and that's what you do, and that's what they do, but that's what we do. And the rest is really not that essential. I do find that there is a much stronger glass ceiling for women here than it was back home. And I also found that some things were not obvious, like, for instance, when you schedule teaching assignments in Argentina, you know that the mothers need to take the kids to school or ship them off or feed them. And the scheduling happens with an eye to the scheduling of what kids do. And there is no, or when I was a junior faculty member and I was getting the bad schedules, I was just getting them, and kids are not kids, right? That was different. I've thought that the culture is more respectful and accommodating to mothers in Argentina. Also, mothers have more authority over their children. There is no such thing as the mother being the doormat of the kids. The mother's the boss, just like in Italy. Mm-hmm. And the kids toe the line, or not, but then they get hollered at, or stuff happens.
I like that. I like that the mother's the boss. So how about you, Fanny? What how would you say you've been embraced here in the community?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as you said, Manhattan, Kansas is truly a diverse melting pot. And it's really interesting. People who live here, and so, you know, my family's been here for over 20 years, we see that. But when I have conversations with customers, especially ethnic customers, they don't see that. And so I've been a little bit on this mission to try to bridge that gap and to try to help Manhattan, Kansas showcase, you know, really who's here in part, and which is why I decided to leave New York City. That's where I studied, leave New York City and to come back to Manhattan, Kansas, because, you know, I think without Manhattan, Kansas, having a diverse population and also having people who appreciate different cultures around the world and have this want to understand and learn, there's no way the Asian market could exist. Absolutely no way, especially with some of the trends that are happening at Kansas State. So when we first opened, Kansas State was seeing an increase in international students and in just general enrollment. But now we've seen, you know, enrollment decreasing at a drastic amount, especially among the international student population. So from 2016 to 2019, there's been a drop of 30%. So you would think that with that happening, an Asian market or international grocery store, the business would begin to hurt. But funny enough, it's actually not, you know, it's actually stabilized. Business has been great. And so, you know, I have a lot of gratitude to the local Manhattan community, to Junction City, Wamigo, and everyone who comes to our store. And then of course to people who don't call Manhattan, Kansas home, for choosing it to be their home, for 4 years, at K-State or at Fort Riley. So, it's really, you know, it's really fascinating to see how in American culture, there is this this strong value in diversity. Whereas in China, you know, really only opened their doors to the rest of the world. Well, one, they were forced to, right? And then they voluntarily did it when Richard Nixon visited China. And so China is still trying to find its own, China is a society that's been around for 3,000 years. So they have a strong identity on what it means to be Chinese and the history of that and the traditions of that. But I do feel that China is still trying to figure out where is their place in such a global world today. So it's really fascinating for me to see that from the lens of someone being born in America, two Chinese parents, and then having two Chinese parents who were raised during or towards the end of Chairman Mao's regime, and now, you know, into this new era of politics for China.
Wow. Well, we've got some great guests here on this panel. This is just kind of a preview of what you're going to hear tonight when you go out to the event at Holiday Inn on campus. Mary, Marlene, maybe just briefly tell us about the other two speakers who we're going to who you'll hear from if you come out.
Well, very briefly, I would just say that we're going to get to hear from Kelly Sunja, who is a doctoral student from Zimbabwe. And Sunny Song, who works at Ogden Elementary as their STEM coordinator here in the district. I would like to invite the public to come tonight. The public portion is free. We will be having dinner ahead of time, and then the public portion will start about 7.
All right.
And all are welcome.
And if you have little girls, it's probably a great event to bring them to.
Absolutely. I've learned a lot just listening to these two women this morning. Cannot wait for tonight.
All right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think I might bring my daughters. I have a 9-year-old and a 2.5-year-old. I think the 9-year-old would appreciate it a little bit more, but might do that tonight. Let me recap and say thank you to everybody who's been joining us here. Mary Stamey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Also, thanks to Marlene Verbrugge. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And, of course, our esteemed guests, Fanny Fang, thank you so much, and Mary Ann Corton.
Thank you.
Sure appreciate it. Thanks, Fanny, for being here with us on the program.
Thank you.